Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just love you, Lord. Glory be to God. We just love you, Lord. We thank you for prayers that have been answered. All of them have been answered. We thank you, Lord, for this great and special time that you've got us in. Whew, my. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the healings, the deliverances, the lives that have been changed in our family and our friends that we've been praying for. Thank you, Father, for bringing about a rest in our heart about those people we've been praying about, because we know that once we pray and we keep, you said to thank you, we continually do that, that they're all coming in. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Father, we just ask that you be with us tonight. Let your anointing, let your rain fall, let your glory just permeate this fellowship tonight, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Not only that, Lord, that you'd bring supernatural wisdom to us to peel back the meanings of some of these verses that catch our eye, and we want to know more about them, Lord. Thank you, Father, for peeling back the answers and giving us the meanings. We thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for all my brothers and sisters out there, Lord, and I ask for your blessings upon each one of them in their places where they are, Lord, all over this world. And we thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight. It's just an awesome time to be with like-minded people, and then our hearts are knitted together in one accord. Thank you, Father, for leading us, guiding us, and directing us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me let somebody in. Oh, my. Got three of them out there waiting to get in. All right. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Hi, Greg.
Well, good morning from tomorrow.
All right. Are we going to have a good day today?
Having a good day today. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're going to have a good day. Look, pretty darn good. I've got to show you something, okay? Just, you know, okay, push you back a bit. Look what I can do. You can't see it.
You're kicking back, man. You're kicking back.
I'm kicking back.
Kicking back. All right.
He's entering the rest.
Awesome. And I was thinking, there's a fairly large screen TV in the corner just there, which you guys are broadcast on right now. So, yes, some of you need to clean up your face a bit, which was given to me free. And I was sitting on this lounge, which is very nice. It's a cream leather lounge, which it was also given to me free, not in the last few days. And I've got two very, very beautiful, you don't know what guys probably don't know what Jarrah is, but it's a hardwood timber. Jarrah Burl coffee tables, which is basically a growth that grows on the side of these trees, like a cancer, I suppose. They cut it off and slice it. It's glossy. And I thought, they were a gift too. I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm sitting here in a place of my own. It's just marvellous. I got my gear yesterday too, by the way, so I'm going to put up the amount of storage.
Amen. Well, it looks like you're settled in, brother. That's awesome.
I've got a few things to unpack, but this corner's done.
Okay. That's kind of what we did today was Gaynold and Greg made it back, and they had a U-Haul that was a truck that looked like a semi almost, and it was jam-packed full. But, boy, we all got together and got it unloaded and got them. It was hot, humid, but we all made it. Praise God. We got them unloaded. It was good. So she'll probably, I don't know, is she over there, Judy? Yeah, you wasn't paying a bit of attention to what I was saying. What's the matter with you, girl?
I'm sorry. I was texting Kathleen.
Okay. I asked if Gaynor was coming over.
No, she's going to take a break, which I said that
okay,
was.
Okay. I believe she ought to. Yeah. Yeah. She's.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. You need to pay more attention, though. I'm just saying. I can do that with her. She's a good gal. Judy is. All right. Anybody else?
I just wanted to say to remember to really pray for Gaynor tonight, because I just talked to her too, and she just sounds so tired and like everything is insurmountable. There's so much to go through that. So can I just pray for her now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Lord, just pray for Gaynor. We lift her up to you, Lord. Just pray that you would just give her real peace in her mind and rest in her body and mind, Lord, in her spirit, Lord. I pray that you would take away any this overwhelming feeling upon her, Lord, that you would remove that, Lord. Let her just enter into your rest, God, and be able to just flow day by day and do whatever it is you lead her to do. May she have peace in that, Lord. I pray, too, you give her just a really good night's rest, Lord, and strength come into her body by tomorrow morning, that she'd be strengthened and rejuvenated in her spirit, Lord, her mind, and in her mind, God. We just thank you, Lord, that you will just bless her to enter into your rest, God, and just have your peace and all that has to be done and not feel overwhelmed and just tackle it all at once, Lord. I just pray that you just give her that rest, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for doing that, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving her strength too, supernatural strength and wisdom. And rest in you, Lord. That stuff will be there tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. Thank you, Lord. I wouldn't worry a bit in the world about it. Go in there and take a break. Kick back like Greg. All right, anybody else got a prayer request?
I do.
Go ahead.
Okay. I got done talking to a friend of ours from the back up in Illinois, now lives in Ohio, him and his wife, and they're believers, but they're really, really under a lot of attack with physical things, and she's in the hospital now with, I think, kidney stones and gallstones and an kidney infection, and he'd been battling something in his lungs for a while, and he's spitting up all the time, and he doesn't know what it is, and just really struggling, though, with struggling to get a hold of faith and get a hold of any healing, you know, from the Lord, and they're totally relying on the medical, you know, always with the doctors, this and that, so, but we always encourage him to, you know, put his faith forth, and so we want to stand in there while they're in this weakened faith condition. We know we have the strength in our faith, and so we're going to join with them and put our strength with their weakness right now, and we're going to see this victory. So Father, we pray for Bob and Leona, both for Bob, for this lung stuff, whatever in his lungs. Father, we just curse that thing out of his lungs. It doesn't belong there. And Father, you see, you know their hearts and you know their faith and their belief, and but they're weak right now. Lord, they believe in you, but they're weak in applying the promises and it's the throne rights we have and the authority we have. They're just weak in that area. So we just put our faith with them, Lord, and we command all this stuff to get out of Bob's body. We bind any spirit, forbid any spirit from harassing him and out from now on in this infirmity. And for Leona, with the kidneys and the stones and the infection, the same, we bind that spirit, bind every spirit off of her that would bring this stuff, and we command that her natural body would heal quickly. God, we lift them up to you, Father. They're just so needy to walk in the Spirit, God. And just thank you, Father. We're just trusting now, Lord, that this is done. We prayed, and it is done. It is finished. It's over because we prayed, and we're thanking you for it. We thank you, God. Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We believe, Lord, we believe. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. What's my name? I can't hear you. You're not muted, but I can't hear you. No. Can't hear you. Well, you're doing some good talking or preaching there, but I can't hear a word of it. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but can't hear you. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, hey, Tracy. All right. Anybody got a praise report or any other thing they want to talk about? Yeah, Paula.
I just want to know if you had a chance, Michael, to then talk to where you go. I can't remember where you were going to, but you were going to share the testimony of my friend's mom with the dementia and how the Lord healed her and brought her back. Will you share that, and how was it received?
Well, it was awesome, wasn't it? She came right out of it. She was in a place for. Did she have dementia? Why don't you tell us? You know better than me.
Yes. No. Sorry, I was asking because you told me you were going to share that testimony.
I know, but that was 3 days ago.
Yeah. No. She had the really rare form of dementia where it really ate away the frontal lobe. And it's called Lewy body, L-E-W-Y, Lewy body dementia. And really violent, very violent. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, she's just her sweet self and wondering why her husband sold the house and they moved and she doesn't know of anything, you know. So we're going to see them this weekend now. So that's going to be the first time that I'll be seeing her again. I've actually wanted to ask you if you can pray for me. Just, I would so love to talk to her about it and just be able to openly, you know, discuss it and tell her about the fact that I've shared the prayer request with UBM and all of you prayed for her. And, you know, it's such a miracle. But I know it's sensitive and the rest of the family, doesn't necessarily, you know, believe in miracles and I'm not sure how they feel about it, you know. I want to start questioning the mom about things I just want to be led by the Lord to be sensitive but also bold, you know, just to
Amen.
To glorify the Lord and just put that faith in her and yeah.
Okay. Let's do it. Well, I know okay. God's gonna answer your prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Paula to you. When she talks to this lady that you brought out of that darkness she was in, Father, I ask and I pray right now that you give Paula a supernatural anointing to speak faith and the true gospel to this lady and to relate to her that it was because of you, Lord, that she walked out of that house in Jesus' name, out of that place, out of that bondage, out of that darkness, Lord. You brought her out of that darkness. Nobody in that place did it but you, Lord, because God gets the glory. They didn't know what happened to that lady. They didn't know why she came up and started being normal again. I can tell them it was you, Lord, and that's what Paul is going to tell them. In the name of Jesus, Father, and I ask and I pray for supernatural wisdom, supernatural boldness, supernatural faith to believe that what she's talking about is going to happen. We ask and we pray right now that you send your angels up there right now to deal with this lady, to open up her spiritual eyes and open up her spiritual ears Lord, give her her dream. Give her a vision of how you reached down off of your throne and touched her and set her free. Glory be to God forevermore. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory for everything that's going to be accomplished when Paula goes and talks to this lady. Lord, let it be a supernatural meeting and she'll know that it's from you, Lord. I praise you and I thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe it. Y'all believe that?
Ooh, my.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's going to happen, girl. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because it's going to happen. Amen.
Well, how long did she have this? Did you mention?
Last time Dirk and I spoke, we were trying to figure it out, but I think it was about 5 years. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure when I see them over the weekend now, but it was a couple of years, you know, and it just progressed to such a terrible state that there was nothing left of her. She used to be quite a big lady as well, and she was just reduced to skin and bone, and, you know, it was... They thought she was going to die, like now any minute, you know, so it really went so far, and then just all of a sudden, you know, this beautiful turnaround.
What did the doctor say, Paula? You're muted.
Sorry. Now, I want to get more of those details now over the weekend, but my friend did say that the doctors were completely baffled. She said they don't know what happened. The family doesn't know what happened. The lady herself, you know, doesn't know what happened. It's such a shock actually for everyone. But she said the doctors are just, they are
dumbfounded. You now have a unique opportunity. It's going to be awesome. Are you going, Dirk?
Yes, I'm going to be there.
Okay, all right. Well, Lord, everything we pray for Paula, we double it up on Dirk in Jesus' name right now. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome.
Good report next time we see you.
Amen. We're looking for it. I'm going to be looking for it. I wish you had a camera that you could just hide somewhere and just
GoPro.
grab the whole video, you know. That'd be awesome. I bet we'd see some stuff.
Yeah.
I bet we would. I'm going to be believing. All right. Anybody else? Boy, I'm excited already.
I was going to say, have Paula share a little more on it for Denny, so he understands what was like when she came in the room once and she was, she started talking about the, like people were pouring demons, snakes in her head and stuff. Tell that story. That was like, wow.
Yeah, because with that dementia comes horrible hallucinations, but they are so real and so violent that this lady in the natural is so gentle and sweet. I mean, she wouldn't hurt a fly, but she was so violent during these hallucinations that she used to attack her husband, her children, you know, nurses, and it would become so hectic that they would try to straitjacket her and send her off to the emergency room. And so many of the hospitals didn't even want to take her in. The last time it happened, they had to go through, I think, 5 or 6 different hospitals. No one wanted to take her. So they really had their hands full, and they couldn't give her any antipsychotic drugs because in this type of dementia, it only worsens the hallucinations and the symptoms. So they were really, they didn't know what to do, medically speaking. And the last time I saw her, she was lying on a bed and she just looked at me, but she looked like a deer and she was just so frightened. And she looked at me and she said, they are slicing off her skull and pouring snakes into her head. And I just said to her, you know, Auntie Vilna, you are a believer. And those are demons. And those are demons trying to get into you. And we just break that now in Jesus' name. And she just started crying, and because she is a believer, and I think she may have gotten mixed up with some religious spirits, religious teachings. But she's what's the word? Oprach in Afrikaans. She really is looking and searching, you know, and she's got a very gentle nature. But she just started crying, and she said, "You are right, you are right." And she also said, you know, yes, Jesus is there for her. And but she was so frightened, and those things were so real. So it was that was the last time I saw her. So I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward to seeing the old Vilma that I used to know, because we, her daughter and I, actually her two daughters, went to school together. So, you know, we've been in each other's lives for many years. Such a blessing. So I'm looking forward to that.
Amen. I would ask that you, as soon as you get through with it, sit down somewhere and y'all write down what happened. And we'll put it on the website. Because I know you're fixing to hear something. You're fixing to hear something. Praise God.
Yeah, that's a powerful story. That'd be good on you being website.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. No, I'll do that.
All right. Praise God. I can't wait, girl. I cannot wait. I know it's going to be an awesome story. Okay, who's next? I know it's hard to follow, but we're gonna try. I've got a little bit of a testimony. When I was home back in Arkansas, I was able to minister to my middle daughter a little bit. And she listened, praise God, she listened. And then I got a phone call from her last night, I believe it was. Or not fully, well, whenever it was, and was able to share some more with her. So, Lord, I just praise you for the work you're doing in Allison. I thank you, Father. I'm looking forward to her complete healing also, mentally and physically. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way. She's the one that the Lord told me a couple of years ago, that he was going to make a mighty good, a woman of God out of her, and I'm looking for it. All right, who's next? Pat looks like he's drinking a bottle of champagne. Is that what you're drinking, Pat? I'm just kidding you, brother. I know you wouldn't do that, would you? Pellegrino, that looks, I can't even see it.
Pellegrino? Looks like it's backwards. Pellegrino.
Okay. Sparkling water?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. I drink this stuff here occasionally. It's just a big bottle of water is all it is. They fancy it up and put a big price on it. You know. Okay, next. Anybody? Yeah, Leah. Can't hear you. Cannot hear you. I'm sorry, brother. Plug it in. Okay. All right. Okay, he's just going to listen. Amen. All right, who's next? Don't hit that motorcyclist in front of you, Claire. Keep her going straight in the road. Keep it between the ditches, girl. That's what they used to tell me. Keep her between the ditches. All right, who's next? Yeah, Judy. You didn't have nothing, Judy? Oh, okay. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I'd like a prayer request for my family is up. And yeah, my family, my son is up from Philadelphia. And my daughter just called it in. She's coming down, bringing her our grandson down. She's from Syracuse. So I just pray, want to pray for them. Lord, I just ask. I know that that they are away from you, Lord. I know there are reasons for that. But Lord, I just trust you to sow the seeds of your word in their heart. We're in a time of great fear and a time of great struggle and turmoil. And Lord, I know that you can open up our eyes in any place, anywhere we are at, and give us your perspective and turn our hearts to you. And so I just trust you for doing exactly that. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you guide us. I praise you and I thank you that you will guide me in my words and in my prayers in the circumstances that we're in. And that you will have your way in this situation. Just pray for words of wisdom, words of life from you to be implanted in Monica and Charlie and Kathy. And I just thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we thank you for it. Also, I just wanted to give a kind of a, I don't know if it's a quick testimony or not, but I had a few weeks ago, a month ago, I think, probably now, the Lord took me through the healing of my this poison ivy that I got back again. It's probably a month ago now, I think. But I just wanted to obviously thank the Lord. It's all, it's completely, even the, you know, the symptoms and everything have been gone for a couple of weeks. But the day that I received that healing, or shall I say the revelation of that healing and the things that were connected with it, I sat down immediately, I think, that, and I wrote Michael an email with that testimony. I wrote my wife, so you know, in an email so she could have it and read it, because it was quite long. And I also sent some friends of mine that had and they are I guess they are missionaries. And I've known them for quite a while, and they're back over in the States, and they came back to take care of their mother. Their mother I know fairly well, has known her for 20 years or so. And I guess the Lord just led me to give that testimony to them as well. I don't think that they are spirit filled. I think they are more of the non-spirit filled side of Christianity, I guess you might say. But I gave that testimony of the Lord healing me through that process, and they wrote me back and they thanked me for it, and then they wanted to talk to me, and so they got my wife and I on a Zoom call, and we were just like this, we were talking with them. And they were calling to try to encourage me to join their, you know, support for their work that they had in, that they were trying to get started in Philadelphia with the Tajik people, or the, I think, Afghanistan people or whatever. So, but I asked them a few pertinent questions that to kind of get an idea of what they, you know, what they are teaching or what they're thinking or whatever. And I don't want to get into a lot of it, but I felt at the end of the process that I wouldn't be able to accommodate them as to what they wanted to, what they wanted me for. So, but the thing that I noticed right after it is that my testimony seemed to, and I know their background was kind of like my background way back when, is that you believed in healing, but there was all kinds of, you know, there wasn't a straight belief in God, trust for his healing, fight through it, expect it, pray, praise the Lord for it, receive it at whatever timing that he wants to provide that manifestation, but believing it up to that point. That kind of concept is relatively foreign to that that flavor of Christianity, shall we say. And so, but the thing that hit me is that we kind of brushed right on past that. It was a, well, that's very nice type of thing, but we'd like to talk about this and whatever, and it kind of blew right by it. Now, I have to say that they're here taking care of their mother because she has a form of a disease that is somehow incurable. I'm going to say like Paula was talking about. It's not dementia, but it's a form of, I think it's a circulation type of problem, makes your body numb and your limbs numb and all over. And as far as I know, that there's not really a cure for it. But so I was in hopes that there was maybe some sort of an opening or something there. There didn't appear to be so. So I just let it set. A few days ago, some friends in the church, not or in a church, we used to actually homeschool our kids, you know, 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And we knew this couple from that group of homeschool, and they've invited us to their church a few times. We've never really gone, but we associate with them and whatever. So they invited us over to dinner, and they had some dinner with a bunch of other people there. And that the Lord had just opened up, gave me Isaiah 10, that whole chapter of Isaiah 10, and kind of blew me away with that. And we were, and these, I'm going to say that these, this group of people is more of, say, patriots, that sort of conservative mentality. You know, I mean, one guy even brought his AR-15 to the group and showing us how the thing, you know, cocks and this and that. And I got a chance to, for the Lord just opened up a conversation, and I got to explaining. I can't even remember everything I was explaining, but the general theme was that God is raising up his people now in this day and age to be able to confront the evil of this time by not, and I, before I even knew that this guy was like, had guns and everything, I said, I basically said, not with the weapons of our warfare today, as we have weapons, but with the faith that removes the motivating factors in the people that would attack us or come against us, and be able to take down those strongholds change those people in some form or another. And anyway, I went on that vein and was talking about that. And then I started to give my testimony about God healing me from this poison ivy and the battle that I went through to do it. And I was probably talking for a half an hour, and when the Spirit grabs me, it's like I move into, I don't know if anybody else feels this, but I move into like preaching mode, and it's like it is flowing through me, and I just can't stop. I just have to just keep following the thing and go wherever the Lord leads me. Well, the whole group of people, they said, well, let's sit down for a minute. And you know, and so we all sat down, and I just finished my testimony and the thing of Isaiah 10 or whatever. And when I got home that night, I realized what happened. I went to a leader of some form in Christianity, and we blew right on by what I was saying, because there was another agenda that we wanted to get to. But I went to, but this time I went to these people who were in the church. They were people that sat in the pews type of thing. And they were like all ears. I mean, it was like some, and you know, it was just a very stark contrast. So I just wanted to praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is doing something in this time for sure. There's no doubt about it. I think hearts are being opened up and receptive, and eyes are being opened. So I'm just trusting the Lord in those relationships and in my family as well. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for opening those people's eyes up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, who's next? Go ahead, Claire.
So we live in a mining town, and there's only about 900 people, and we live in the middle of a rainforest, so it's quite intense. And there's a few other sort of, I would categorize them as sort of loose believers, but it's difficult, as you know, to find people like us. And I don't mean that in a self-righteous way. I just mean it's hard to find people with faith. And we hosted a Bible study at our house for about 26 weeks about the real good news. We went through that. We went through God's vaccine, and we basically opened it up to the community and said, well, anyone can come. And I looked after the little kids, and a few families came. And one of the families is actually, they would call themselves home. They'd call themselves Christian. The man, the husband, well, anyway, we don't have to get into particulars, but this lady is a homeschooler, and she's got two young children. And so we chat, and I try and find common ground with her. And she invited me over for tea yesterday, and she asked me about the Holy Spirit. And she asked me about, how do you know? Like, how will you know that you've got it? And does she need to ask? And it was so amazing, because I've just recently redone like independent reading on an independent study from Unleavened Bread on that topic, and reading Andrew Murray's stuff. And I just felt the Holy Spirit take the lead, and we had the most amazing conversation. And it ended up in a point where she asked me questions about the Trinity. And I didn't know if I could ever answer questions about the Trinity, because I never want to make anyone stumble. And I just quickly in my spirit, I prayed, and I just said a few things, and I explained, you know, God is the Father and Jesus is the Son, and he's the, you know, he's the advocate. And then we've got the Holy Spirit, and he's the paraclete. And I can't restate what I said yesterday because I believe it was the Holy Spirit working, but she sent me an email last night and she'd done some research on, I don't know if I should say the website, but it's a very, very big creation apologetics website with a replica of some sort in the US. And she said to me, are you saying that these guys are lying about the Trinity? And are you saying that everybody has got it wrong? Oh, and I was like, I'm not saying anyone's wrong. And I'm not saying anyone's right. I'm just saying, go and search it in the scriptures. And it was so funny. Like within a couple of minutes, I had this email together with verses and scriptures and just everything that, not to sort of nitpick or anything, but just very basic understanding of what these things mean. And I said to Rihanna, I said, I'm so amazed that the Lord, he prepares you. He prepares your heart. He gives you the teaching. And then he wants you to go and teach, or not necessarily teach. And I know women aren't teachers, but I mean, I can talk to her about it and that's okay. I'm not going to, you know, start a, but anyway, so that was just interesting. And I just feel like we need to pray for this couple and pray that they, because there are other factions fighting for their souls. There are other factions that are moving them into a faithless, non-fruit belief system where it's like once saved, always saved. That's all you need. You get in. That's your ticket to the kingdom. There's other factions that are all works-based and, you know, you've got to do everything and more to get in. And I just feel like this poor woman doesn't know where to go. And I encouraged her to just go to the Word and just spend time in the Word and ask the Holy Spirit. And she has got one little word. She's got one little utterance. And she keeps on, she's like, but nothing more comes. And I said, but you've got it. Like, that's this, the Holy Spirit is a gift and that's the sign of the gift. And I'm so excited for you. And I just, you know, so I prayed for her in, I said to her, if it doesn't offend you, I will pray with you in understanding. But then I will also pray in the Spirit so that you can get used to hearing this. Because she was shocked that we speak to our children in this, or not speak to them in the Spirit, but speak in the Spirit around our children and that they are aware of these things. And the question about the Trinity came because she said her little four-year-old asked her, so we have two gods, we've got God and we've got Jesus. And she didn't know how to answer it. And so I said, well, that's exactly what the Trinity does. It just brings confusion. It's just not, don't do that. Don't confuse your child. Like, tell your child what it says in the Bible. And so if you'll agree with me, then I'll just want to pray for them. Lord, I just bring Andrea and Edwin to you now, and I pray that you will open their minds, Lord, with a supernatural yearning for your word. She has got the Holy Spirit, Lord. She is Spirit-filled, and her carnal Christian friends and her carnal Christian flesh is at war with that Spirit of Jesus in her, Lord. And we just cast that down in the name of Jesus. We bind those spirits of fear and anxiety and doubt and unbelief, and we pray that you will pour out a spirit, Lord, of belief into her life, and we will let the fruits of her life manifest in such a way that her husband cannot but want to be baptized and come into the kingdom and receive the Holy Spirit as you've intended, so that they can raise those children up, Lord, and they can be a testimony and they can be vessels of honor. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you so much for using us, Lord, to benefit the kingdom and to grow the kingdom. And we know that every good and perfect gift is from you. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just count it as done. And glory to God. Thank you, Father, that Andrea and Edwin are going, are filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, if she asks, you've already told us that, I remember that testimony of I can't think of his name. Rex Verone, where he only had one word too, and da 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 da, you know. But he asked the Lord to give him a full language, and the Lord did. So, Lord, you can do that for Andrea too, if she wants it. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this whole family into the truth of the gospel that would affect peoples all around them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I believe that's going to happen. I know it is. Okay. Anyone else? Isn't it exciting when we know that our prayers are answered? We know that when we pray, God's going to answer. We got to open heaven, and ain't nothing else can stop us. As we bind them demons, they ain't got a chance around us or around God's people. Okay. Anybody else? All right. What were we going to talk about tonight? I think it was, what was it, Dave?
Well, we got Dirk and Paula here. We can bring up the Song of Solomon's 8:4 first.
Oh, we had a good one on that one, Dirk and Paula. Y'all wasn't there, but we had a great one on that one. No, I'm just kidding you. we're going to wait on y'all. We're just going to wait on y'all. All right. What was it? Ecclesiastes 8:4. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and read that, Dave, if you don't mind, if you got it right there.
I'm sorry, did I say Ecclesiastes? It's Song of Solomon.
Yeah, Song of Solomon. That's what I say, Ecclesiastes, but it's Song of Solomon.
Song of Solomon, 8:4. I'm going to read from the ASV. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up nor awaken my love until he please.
Okay. Now, Paula, what was your question on that particular verse?
I woke up the one morning. It was that state between being awake and being asleep. And the Lord often gives word to me there in that space. And then I woke up with that verse. And I heard that. And I looked it up when I woke. And I don't understand this. What does it mean? Because I've always wondered about that verse, and it's in Song of Songs. I think it's mentioned 3 times. So I did a little, some searching on that, and we've got a Thompson Reference Bible, wonderful Bible, just for scripture referencing scripture. So there's no doctrine or anything, and he linked it to a verse in Genesis. I can't remember the exact verse, but that thing sparked something else. And for me, I thought about the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, and that when it stayed, the Israelites stayed. And it just, I don't know if there's a link that, don't stir it up. He will at the right time arise and guide the way, and we must just follow. And in the meantime, we must just wait patiently. And he knows what he's doing and when he wants to do it. So, I don't know. Yeah, that's all where I got with that verse. And it sparked some other words as well. But I'll leave that at there for now.
Okay. All right, anybody else on that on that verse? I know y'all studied it. Yeah, Julie.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Paula, that verse has mystified me too for many years, and I've meditated on that a lot, and I still don't know what it means either, so I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, it's just, I don't know if it has to do with wanting the Lord, running after the Lord, because that's the Shulamite. She's running after the Lord with all of her heart. But just to be patient and in our growth and in our walk and in our race, to apprehend all of him. I don't know. It's just being patient. I don't know. It's still a mystery to me. But I've thought about that verse a lot too. when I read that book. Yeah, I'm with you. So we got lots of wisdom in here, and we have in the midst of us, Jesus is here. So thank you, Lord, for showing us, giving us insight to what all that means. Thank you, Lord.
Because it almost seems contradictory, you know, the bride needing to run after the Lord and, you know, draw me and we will run after you. And then don't stir up the love, you know, but we want to stir it up and we want to receive that and we want to see his face. So yes, it is mystifying, as you said.
Okay, yeah, Danny, go ahead, brother.
This is just out of the New English translation, which sometimes they've totally missed it, but it just says, "Promise me, women of Jerusalem, that you will not interrupt our love."
Say it again, Denny. You'll have to unmute, I guess. Denny, can you say that again? Can you read that again?
Okay, I was muted. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It says, "Promise me, women of Jerusalem, that you will not interrupt our love."
Okay.
Andrew's got it.
Okay. All right, anybody else?
Andrew had his hand up.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, when I looked at it, I think it's talking about in the Lord's time, in his timing. And I also like what it says about love in Romans 13:11. You know, it's talking about a closer walk with the Lord than when you first received your salvation in Narrow 11. If I can see this, I will try and read it. I'll read 10:2. "Love worketh no ill to the neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this knowing the season." So I guess the season is up to the Lord. "That already it is the hour for you to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." So even though this daughter has salvation, you know, I think it's in the Lord's timing for when this love is going to come through. You know? And it's always his timing. He sets it up. You know, he sets it up like he did with Cornelius. And Peter was on the rooftop there. So he sets this all up for you, and it follows that cycle. That's what I'm getting anyway. And, well, I think it's a thing of timing. You know, because the verse before it also says, he left his hand, his left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. And you know, this looks like the Lord is now guiding you and leading you with his hand, and you're in his hand too. So I'm just wondering if it has a thing to do with within the Lord's time. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm getting.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
When I seen that, I thought this kind of stirred me up a little bit. I remember this from Amos. It's from 5:8 to 5:20, and it kind of goes a little different direction for you guys. But it says, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. or he went into a house and leaned on his hand on a wall and a serpent bit him. Won't the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? And I see where the Song of Solomon, where you have the daughters, the bride saying, hey, don't wake him till he's ready. When he's ready to come, then we'll have all these things coming on and there'll be a lot of activity and there's going to be this time of restoration, but also of darkness at the end. And he says, don't push this. Don't get this until he's ready to do that. That's what I was thinking. I seen the day of the Lord being, you know, a lot of people think, oh, great, you know, Lord's coming, we'll get to go. But it's also going to be a time that's going to be a variable, very hard day for others, you know. So that's just kind of where I saw it going sometimes. But I may be wrong on that.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Will. You had your hand up a while ago.
Evening, Michael. Evening, everyone. Yeah, I just put the word adjure in the chat. In my Strong's, all the, oh, I don't know what the Bible is called, but it compares all the different English with the Hebrew words, and in this application it says, I charge of Jerusalem daughters, and why stir up, why awaken until it pleases love. It's a different way of saying it, but I charge, it's instead of adjure, they've got I charge there. And the definition of that adjure, according to them, is to swear, to be to swear. And another thing, it's a swear as if by repeating a declaration seven times. So I just wanted to draw attention to the word adjure.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I was just looking at that too, William, and part of that word too is properly to be complete. So it's I guess like a waiting until the completeness or perfection, which is the Shulamite, is perfection, perfect.
Amen. I'm going to read the Amplified and see what it says, because they put a lot of words and stuff. You know what I'm saying? All right, 8:4. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you never again attempt to stir up or awaken love until it pleases. I'm going to read it again. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you never again attempt to stir up or awaken love until it pleases. What does that sound like? All right, who's next? Sue's gonna expect. Is gonna.
I don't know. I don't know about okay. That, but I couldn't help but think that, you know, sometimes we have to go through some things as a believer in Christ. The Lord has to put us through things to get us to where we realize how much we need Him, how much we love Him, and if we don't let our other brothers and sisters go through those certain things, it's not going to have the positive effect that it needs to be able to love the Lord in that way. You know, it's like the trials we go through. I recognize sometimes the trials, when I come out of that trial, I'm like, wow, I really love the Lord more. I really want more of the Lord, because it causes us to grow. in him. That's what's coming to me. I don't know if that's the answer that's you're looking for or whatever. Anyway.
Amen. I know bad answers.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Paula. Your hand is almost hid from me. Okay. Yeah, you got to get it up there and do this number. Yeah. Go ahead, Paula.
Something just what links with what Dave said and what I said about the pillar of cloud and fire. There's the beautiful verse in one of the Psalms as well, but what they used to do be, it says in Numbers 10, verse 34 and 35, and the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set forward from the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." So it's that double thing of he's our guidance and our protection, but also the fierceness, you know, for our enemies, like Dave said, and it's both. I just thought that.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I'm kind of tracking along with the stirring up of the. Let me go back. A couple days ago, a few days ago, he gave me this picture of the Spirit of God being the power, the locomotive, and the Word of God being like the train tracks, and it kind of gave me a picture of there's a section of, say, the spirit-filled side of apostate Christianity today believes in the fullness of filling of the Spirit, and obviously when God's Spirit is strong on you and in you, and you feel that anointing and everything, it is absolutely joyous. And if you could live there constantly, you would probably blow your gaskets. But the thing of it is, we all really desire to live in that place, right? In the presence of God and in that fullness and that filling and that wonderful power and feeling of exuberance, and you can do no wrong, you can do anything, you can walk in faith. When you're sitting on the Father's lap, you fear nothing. However, I had an experience like that when I was a new Christian, and when I had a point, I guess I was seeking God's Spirit at that time. In my particular flavor of religion, the group did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the filling of the Holy Spirit. So I was kind of on my own, traversing my way through the process, and so the Lord took me through a process of time, and the only thing I can say is he became so strong and so present in my life at that time, and took me through many places of faith that I would have never had the strength to walk through, even in the time and in the environment that I was in at that time. And I went through times of commanding, you know, the reading it in the Bible, where Jesus commanded the waves and the wind and the waves, and so I commanded the rainstorm to stop. And I'm sure we've all had those experiences. And it was so overwhelming for probably, I'm going to say 6 to 9 months. And the Lord, I would get up out of bed and the Lord was there, just present, and just, and we would, I would flood myself in His Word every morning. And we would just, I would read, and I'd ask Him, well, what does this mean? And lo and behold, He would show me what it meant that day, walking it out in some sort of an example that He would bring me into. And then after about, I'm going to say 9 months, He told me one day, I'm going to pull myself back from you. I'm going to remove myself or whatever. And at the time, I thought it was just another lesson that we were going to learn. Pat's going to learn a new lesson today. And then it was then, but slowly but surely, that presence seemed to pull back and become less and less strong in my life. Now, through that time, he bolstered my expectation. The only thing I can say is he set my expectation level way above and showed me what normal Christian life is about. And then slowly pulled away my, I'm going to say, the power to live that, and left me in a state of seeking Him to get back to there, to get back to Him. And the only thing I had was His Word. And I started combing the Scriptures to find out, you know, did I miss the boat here? What happened? Lord, what is going on? This lesson's running a little bit longer than they usually run. But later on, he showed me that motivation that he left me with, that expectation of what true Christianity is, a true fellowship and relationship with Him, he set my expectations so high that, and with that led me through the rest of my life. And quite frankly, had I not had that expectation or seeing, I wouldn't be here in this meeting right here today, because I wouldn't have been seeking more. I wouldn't have been seeking more of a relationship with the Lord. And through that process of time, forced me to focus on His Word and what He said, and that I didn't have the, I'm going to say, the benefit of His overwhelming presence in my life to make it easy. That's the only thing I can say. And it left me into a struggling mode where I had to find this way, get back to God, and find this whole process through the Spirit. So I kind of think that even if, as I'm looking through the Scripture, just look at the overall, Jesus came, He was crucified, raised again, He took His disciples through a 3.5-year period, and He was with them. He died and raised, commissioned us to do the work, and then what did He do? He left. Left us with the Holy Spirit to go through this process. I'm not going to say by ourselves, but He's left it with us as the responsibility. So I don't know if I'm babbling here or not, but and quite frankly, I may be way off base here, I don't know, but it seems to me like there's a certain connection with what, don't stir up my love until it's ready. That, and I have to say it again, that I believe that even in the places where we struggle, where we're fighting, where we're still fighting through and trying to overcome in certain areas, say of our life, at least we see where we need to be, or we see where Jesus is at in this. And when he pours out his spirit in such a way in these end days, whether it's the second rain, latter rain, or whatever it is, there's going to be such a presence of the Lord at that time that will, I believe, help us to move into that place of perfectness even more easily. So I'm going to shut up.
Well, that was good, Pat. That was fine. Yeah, Dave.
Got another set of scriptures I'll read you. Zechariah 2, start at 7. Come, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, for honor he has sent me to the nations which plundered you. For he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. For behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they will be a spoil to those who serve them. And you know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion, for behold, I come. I will dwell in the midst of you, says the Lord. Many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall say, be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of you. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy habitation.
Okay. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read 1-7. Let's take a look at this. Let's set the agenda here. What's going on? Okay. Song of Solomon 8:1. Oh, that thou wert as my brother. Who's he talking about? Or she? Oh, that thou wert as my brother. He's talking about Christ. That sucked the breasts of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, and none would despise me. She wants to kiss Christ. She wants to get close to Christ without anybody despising her. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, the church. Who would instruct me? I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. She wants to draw closer and closer to Christ. Okay? Then 4. Okay. She changes tune here. She said, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please. In other words, don't get between me and Jesus. Don't do that. Let me have my good communion with him now. Okay, that's what I believe she's talking about. Who is this that comes up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Under the apple tree I awaken thee. There thy mother was in travail with thee. Uh-oh. There was she in travail that brought thee forth. Who are we talking about here? Y'all see. Go ahead, Julie.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, what you were just reading there, and then there's 2 other references of the same, similar. This one's a little bit different, but the other one is in 2:7, and then there's another one too, but I'll read from 2:7. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, R-O-E-S, that's rose, or by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awaken my love until he please. And if you go up to verse 1, if I may read that, and going forward, it says, I am the rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. As a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under the shadow, under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay ye with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. His Amen. Left hand is under my head, and his right hand does embrace me. But it was just talking about the, you know, the apple tree, and you know, it's like
same thing.
It's the same thing. It's like among the daughters, we're among the daughters, but we've been, the bride's been singled out because she is running after the Lord. So
yeah,
I'm still not 100% sure what that means. But you stir not love and awaken unto my love. I don't quite understand that part. It's
well,
just
like I was talking about before, I believe she's telling the daughters, the bride is telling the daughters, don't get between me and Jesus. You get Jesus. I'm going to get Jesus. That's what I'm thinking. You know, I don't know. We can hash it out. You know. I adjure you. Now, this is the bride talking. I adjure you. This is... the bride talking says, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem. She's talking to her sisters, aren't she? In the church. That you stir not up nor awake my love. Don't get between me and Jesus. Let me have my silent communion with him. And please don't interrupt me. You know, when you're in your closet and you're praying and somebody comes and banging on the door? I'm just saying, that's what I'm thinking. Go ahead, Will. Will's got the answer. I know.
There's a few apps in the App Store that's got the ancient Hebrew. And then the Greek, and then the English, and then every English word has got a Strong's translation. It's quite a handy apparatus. But I've only started using it. But if I take their translation, I wonder if I can screen share.
Yeah.
Let me see.
You got it on chat there, don't you?
No, I couldn't take the main page. It was a bit difficult.
Okay.
But I did translate it. I don't think it's necessary. I did translate it's a direct translation, so it sounds strange. I think I typed it out anyway, yeah. It says, I charge of Jerusalem daughters, and why stir up? Why awaken until it pleases love? And there's a please at the end. So that's how they translated it directly from the... So it sounds almost like two questions. Why stir up and why awaken until it pleases? So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Initially, I thought it sort of like started sounding a bit like works, you know, trying to stir up something that is before its time in works, in self-effort, but it's just a thought.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yes. Well, I looked in one of the commentaries, and an interesting comment was that those that are pleased with Christ must study to be pleasing to Him. Must get closer to Him. Must draw closer to Him.
Go ahead, say that again.
Huh?
Say that again. Say that again.
Those that are pleased with Christ must study to be pleasing to Him. And they will not find Him hard to be pleased. In other words, He's pleased when we praise Him. He's pleased when we speak to Him. He's pleased when we want to draw close to Him. He's pleased anytime that, I heard somebody say this one time, and I believe it. And he said that when we get hunger to draw close to Him, He's more hungry for us to do that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think He is. I think He wants us, well, I know He does. I know He wants us to commune with Him all the time and to trust Him and to obey Him. That's when He knows we love Him, is when we obey Him. And I guess we can get back to this deal here. Yeah, I think she just doesn't want anybody to interrupt her while she's communing with the Lord. I know I get sidetracked, you know. How many of you in here ever had somebody interrupt you while you were talking to the Lord? You know, and it's okay, but it's just, me and Jesus was having such a good time, glory to God. David, don't come up here and beat on my door when I'm in here talking to you. I'm just kidding, y'all. I'm just kidding. Amen. Praise God. Okay, anybody else got something on that? How about you, George? I'm interested to know what you think about it.
I think it's just a straight shot of morality that there's a natural tendency for young people to rev up the engines before it's time. And it's in a book especially so, you know, borderline taboo if you take it the wrong way. Yeah. It's kind of a nice shot across the bow to just say, young ladies, in the community, can contain your natural, you know, don't, it's like those old tractors, which you'd have to crank them and fire them and maybe even pop a buckshot or a capsule on them to get them fired up. Once you get them fired up, it ain't too easy to slow that engine down. And, you know, maybe that's the daddy in me just looking after little ones, but I, you know, that's kind of what I got from, you know, there's like 30 different versions that you can look at on Bible Gateway, and it lists them all in a line, and about half of them were kind of tuning me in that way. So that's about all I could dig out of it. Not much hidden manna there, but I got what was on laying on top of the ground.
Amen, bro. That was pretty good. Amen. Okay, anybody else? How about Stephen?
There, I got myself unmuted.
Okay.
I hear the first hour, what you guys were talking about, my daughter called right as you guys started talking, so I slipped out of the room. But you're talking about Song of Solomon 8?
8 and 7, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this verse in 8 that you read is talking about the mother, being in the wilderness and the being in travail. Kind of makes me think of Revelation 12:6, you know, with the man-child coming. in John 16, where Jesus talks about him coming again on, after from a, like a man born, like a baby boy born from a woman. He talks about that. So it kind of looks like that a little bit to me.
Okay. Amen. Excuse me. All right. Anyone else?
I don't have the answer, and I'm not sure there is a answer. And Song of Songs, I mean, look, it's a brilliant book, and I don't understand all of it, and it's, you know, this much I'll say, okay, because I'm beating around the bush here a little bit. I think there's an allusion to what, because the only time the phrase daughters of Jerusalem appears in King Jimmy is in Song of Solomon's, except in Luke 23:28, when Jesus addresses the women who are weeping and wailing as he's heading towards the cross. Don't ask me what the connection is entirely. I haven't worked it out. But Nicodemus might know. And this is the reason I say this is Nicodemus went to Jesus at night in John 3. And Jesus said, the whole conversation where Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, who Jesus called great teacher of Israel, goes, huh? And if we're honest, I know for myself, you know, for me it's like, yeah, what? But Nicodemus had an epiphany at the cross because it seems that he was there because he was there at the internment of his body, which had to be done very quickly. So he had to know that Jesus died. So he would have been there at the cross. And he would have, when Jesus was spit, well, his Jesus' body was speared in the side, blood and water flowed out, which generally only happens in one occurrence normally happens in one occurrence in human experience, the birth of a child. But births don't happen from the side of a man, except in one previous case, which was Eve from Adam. Now, let me just connect the dots here a little bit. But this is why it seems that Nicodemus had this great epiphany, because at the interment of Jesus' body, he bought in, and he would have had to scrounge, had all his servants, you know, scrounge Jerusalem very, very quickly to get all these ointments, perfumes. Perfume's not quite the right word for in their day, but all these ointments around the body. Now, he got 100 times more than the woman who broke the spikenard of perfume over Jesus' feet, which was worth a year's wages. And they're all wedding scents or ointments, which is all in Song of Songs. So getting back to, you know, what does the verse mean? I don't know if we can take it as a verse in its own. But, you know, in a bigger context of the whole book, it has some references there to the daughters of Jerusalem and you know, things happening in their proper time, I think. It's just way too deep to, I guess, you know, put in a box, I don't think. Well, I do think.
Amen.
End of comment.
Yeah, Paula.
Greg, that sparks something completely different now. We were also saying now it's almost like a prophecy then, you know, the Song of Songs showing that it's showing to the Messiah and that it wasn't time yet when in the Old Testament, when that was written, they weren't able to have that love, to have that intimate relationship with the Lord that we are now able to have. That's a beautiful link. That's beautiful. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Will.
I was sort of, it's very confusing. So I sort of asked the Lord, sure, this could take a long time.
Can he maybe just give me a couple of scriptures to explain to me what I wasn't going to share it, but to me what on earth this means. And then I've got this daily devotional. I open it up on by random, and it's got a say seven scriptures in, and it reads, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, who have wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved.
Okay. Good verses.
Something in the flesh, you know, it just goes back to my speculation. I do enjoy to speculate, but it's a good.
Okay. I got knocked off, but I'm back.
Will had a lot of good verses there. Is that, did you read from a lot of different books there, or is that one place?
It's I don't know. My mom said it's the guy that started the Salvation Army. He wrote a daily devotional. It's called Daily Light on the Daily Path. Yeah, something like that. But it's a pure scripture. It's an awesome daily devotion. So, yeah, it's a few scriptures, random scriptures put together.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Well, okay. Now that we got that settled. Dave, you had something last week that you wanted to talk about. I don't remember what it was.
I don't know. I just brought it up. It doesn't mean we have to talk about it. It's up to you guys. It doesn't mean much. It was just a couple of different places. I found it to be kind of went in a direction that, I don't know, just at the time it caught me. I was at John 12. Let's see. Two different places. And I was at 44. I think I looked this up real quick. I actually got a verse from the Lord that day. John 12:33, but I started at 44 just to share, because it said Jesus came to save the world. It said Jesus shouted out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as the light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And then he says, if anyone listens to my saying and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I came not to judge the world, but came to save the world. He says, he who rejects me does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word that I spoke, the same will judge him in that last day. For I spoke not for myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. I know that this his commandment is eternal life. The things therefore which I speak, even as the Father has said to me, so I speak. And it was kind of hindering on a little bit, if anyone listens to what I'm saying. So we have this where Jesus is talking about why he came, and the word that he said is from the Father, and he's not going to judge anyone, but the word that he said will judge you at the end. And the words that he gave, a commandment to speak from his Father, is eternal life. But he comes down to that thing about if, you know, if anyone listens to what I'm saying. And then we went, I took it up again, I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, because this is in the same day I'd kind of received stuff like this from the Lord. It was just kind of took me a couple of different places. And I started with 9:19. You can actually go with 9:18. We'll go with that. It says,
what book?
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. And here we got Paul talking. And he's kind of pushing forward with what Jesus said a little bit about the commandment, the word, about he's the light of the world, and that he's not going to judge anybody. But he said, if anyone listens to what he has to say. And here we have Paul talking, and Paul's saying, this again is a New Heart English Bible I'm reading from, so I might have a few different words from what you're reading from. It says, what then is my reward? That when I proclaim the good news or the gospel, I might present the gospel without charge, so that not to abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I was free from all, I brought myself under bondage to all, that I might gain the more. To the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And he says, now I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker of it. So, again, I'm looking at this, what Paul is talking about in the gospel. And first, Jesus' emphasis was not total emphasis, but he did say, if you listen to what I have to say. And Paul's saying, I'm doing all this for the gospel's sake. I'm doing everything I can bring the gospel to somebody to light, no matter what it takes. I become as they are, so that I might be able to share some gospel with them. And then even at the end, he says that I might by all means save some. And I guess at the time I was looking this over and thinking, you know, we're looking at what Jesus brought for the message of the gospel, and we here try to come into that knowledge as much as possible and walk in it in truth and seek it and not just think we're satisfied with what we know. We keep on searching more and more to make sure we understand it. And here Paul is doing all that he can with everybody he can possibly come under the sun and meet and be with to share this great gospel news. And he says, well, that he might save some. And Jesus says, if anyone believes what I have to basically say, if. And that brings us down to understanding what is so hard for people to grab hold of with the gospel that makes it so hard for them to make an if statement, for it to be a some statement, or what is the qualifications that we're putting out there for this gospel's sake, the good news, that makes it only some will receive it or want it, and only if some will receive it is a commandment and run with it from the Lord. I know it has a lot to do with predestination, who's called and who's elect, and a lot of that's in there. but it makes you look at that, and it makes me sometimes somewhat fearful. It makes you want to be more diligent to seek out this word, understand the gospel, understand the promises, because you could be one of these people that if you didn't believe, or some of them that fell away, like Paul's talking about, all these people he's talking to, and he's only got a mind thinking that some, I mean, he might save some of them. Because what is he looking at to understand what he's saving? What is he determining whether or not he even had an effect that only some were saved? And I'm not like Andrew's word, he's brought up the idea about judging and thinking, and Jesus said I wasn't going to judge anyone, but the word was going to judge. And that word is that it came from the Father's eternal life. And these concerns me, you know, these give me great concern about the gospel, about, you know, making sure whatever it is we present or whatever it is we understand, to make sure we have a fullness of understanding, we're not missing something along the way. So we don't become the bypass people of just the some that didn't hear it right, or the if that we didn't believe it completely. So that was just kind of where I was taking that. You know, I'll have my concerns on that. So.
Okay. Anybody want to comment? Somebody put some stuff up there in the chat. We'll put some in there. All right, I'll just read it. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. Then, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. It is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then he cites all of these things here. Then Pat puts up Isaiah 10:20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and they that are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again lean upon him that smote them, but shall lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Isaiah 10:21. A remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. 22. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them shall return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. And then 23, for a full end and that determined will the Lord, the God of hosts, make in the midst of the earth, of all the earth, excuse me. And then Durkin Paula says, Dave, for me it links with John 5:43. Got the word the other morning. And then again, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. We got that all over so-called Christianity today, where they're doing that. I got another Jesus. Biggest problem in the church today is laziness with the word. They won't study the word of God for themselves and find out what the word says and believe what the word said. I love what David says, you know. He said, get the Bible out, read it, and do what it says. Just believe what it said. Trust God that he hadn't changed. It's all the same today. Amen. Yeah, adding to the word and subtracting to it. They're doing a new, well, I won't talk about that. I wish to talk about that Saturday night. what I find interesting is when people translate the Bible, and then you have other people say, well, I'm going to put it in modern day English and just destroys the meaning of the word and don't think a thing in the world about it. And that's not a good place to be in at the end. What is this, Dave Nelson? John 5:3.
I can't tell you.
I can tell. Yeah, I can tell. You're telling on yourself, Dave. Okay. You ever get your hand, one hand in the wrong place and you go to typing, you don't even look what you're doing. You think, okay, man, it's going to be, look up there and you got a number of garbage. Yeah, it worked. All right, anybody else? All right, Dave, what was you going to say? Maybe you ought to tell me.
No, I was going by that grabbing what Dirk and Paula shared, John 5:43. I thought, oh, yeah, another Jesus. No, my gosh.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, some very, very discerning, disconcerting verses here. You know, it's just like, it just stuff makes me very uncomfortable when I read them. That's all.
Amen. Yeah, Pat.
I was going to say, if you read, take the time to read Isaiah 10, those verses that I posted were the end, but the first part of that is God's bringing about this condition or situation that we are find ourselves in the world today, where we're moving towards the tribulation, and he is stirring the environment. He's bringing opposition against the church and against the system, and in doing so, obviously brings us it forces us to be in that environment where we have to stand strictly on the word of God. And obviously we've all been listening to the messages that Dave's been teaching here for the last, you know, 10 years or whatever, but just in the last few months, it's even getting more explicit where God is really bringing this fire and burning off the dross of his people, because it's forcing us to grab a hold of his word and hold on to it and go where it takes us and shaking off. Remember a line that I forgot his name. It was a Christian artist. I forgot his name. But he had a line in a song that basically meant God was taking his life and shaking him for all he could shake. Oh, there's Missy, Melissa. And shaking him for all he was worth. And all that remained in his life was what wasn't shaken. Everything else was shaken and was tossed off. And that's, I think, what the Lord is doing with us, is he's shaken the tree here and in our life, and only the that which remains is all that we really ever had in the first place. I'll get off of it. But I would encourage you to read Isaiah 10. It's a picture of what's happening now. Okay. Hi, Missy.
Hey, Missy Five Missy. What's up, girl?
Can you Jesus. Talk? Yeah, I didn't realize. Did you unmute me or did I?
No. No,
Jesus.
Amen. Sandy home?
No, she's supposed to come home tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So. Oh,
praise God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway. I just thought I'd come in quick and say hi and then bye. Because it's so almost time.
Yeah.
Hi, y'all. Bless y'all.
Amen. Doug Nelson, would you dismiss us for the prayer?
I will. Father, again, we are humbled by your presence. We are humbled by your word. We are mindful of your way and your teachings. And we love your word. We love Jesus. We love the gospel. We love each other. We love what you've done for us as a body to bring us close together and unite us and strengthen us. And at the same time, you allow us all to grow together in love and understand what it is you desire from each of us individually as also corporately. And so, Father, we give you the praise and glory and honor that you deserve. And we thank you, Father, for bringing Jesus in our life to preserve us, sanctify us, perfect us, draw us, and make us close like you in your image, Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Lord, we continue to grow and ask you your favor upon all our lives and our families' lives as we end this night and for some begin their day. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless all those here today. We bless all our families in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for being our God and being our Lord and Savior. Give us a good night's rest, Father, for tomorrow morning, and give those who are beginning their day a wonderful, fruitful day in the name of Jesus Christ. We say this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, okay. Yeah, unmute everybody. All right, y'all are unmuted, I think. Yep. Good night, y'all. Bless you.
Place like a slob.
Yeah, like a slob. Like a slob.
Good night.
God bless you all.
Never look like a slob, Missy. Don't listen.